Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, Governor Snyder is in China today trying to bring investments and jobs back to Michigan. Although, does more business with China really mean more jobs for Michiganians? I'll talk to an economist who released a new report on job losses to China over the past decade. And consumers being asked to tell Senator Debbie Stabenow to do something to protect family farmers across the country as big agribusiness is pushing tens of thousands of them out of business. I'll talk to the group calling for the senator to take action. But first, let's start with the education reform efforts at the Capitol, which include the expansion of charter schools in the state. Supporters say that they've proven to be superior to traditional public schools and that parents deserve to have a choice on where they send their kids to school. To discuss the topic, I'm joined by Gary Miron. He's a professor at the College of Education at Western Michigan University and is nationally known for his charter school research. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you, Michael.
While some say charter school students are more successful and go on to perform better in college, others say that's not consistently the case. How do you compare the quality of education offered by a charter as compared to traditional public schools?
Well, the good news is that there's successful charter schools in every state. The bad news is that when we look at the larger scale studies that get away from those successful schools and the anecdotes, we tend to find that charter schools are performing at levels that are similar to or slightly lower than demographically comparable students or schools.
So you're saying ultimately there is no qualitative difference in the type of education a student gets at a charter as compared to a traditional school?
That's correct. But there are in every state that we've evaluated done 9 state evaluations for different state education agencies, and we have found successes in every single state of successful schools. And these are the ones that are often touted. And in the Senate hearing yesterday, even Senator Pavlov mentioned, you know, how heartwarming it is, you know, to have that successful school and how difficult it is to tell some families that they might not have a chance to go to that successful charter school. And I had to remind them that for every successful charter school, there could be, or there typically is, 2 or 3 schools with performance levels much lower than their comparison groups. So those successful schools exist, and it would be wonderful if there was more of them, but unfortunately the research doesn't bear that out.
What's the fundamental difference in the way the school and classes are structured at a charter as compared to a traditional school?
Well, charter schools were intended to be locally run and innovative. In part, they have not been able to do that, and part of that is due to re-regulation that's gone on by state and federal governments. One big example is No Child Left Behind that requires charter schools to use and administer the same test and to test at so many different grade levels as traditional public schools. And so basically they're forcing the charter schools to be more and more like traditional public schools. But I think also charter schools have found it very hard to break the mold of schooling, and many of them have a back-to-basics approach. And now with many of the large education management organizations, these private groups that are operating the charter schools, many of them for-profit, they tend to go with a back-to-basics theme, and they also use a more of a cookie-cutter approach. They don't adapt instruction for each unique site or community. They use the same model across all of their schools. And in many of these companies, they are headquartered in California, Florida, and New York. A few of them are local as well.
Now, in fact, you spoke in front of the State Senate Committee then, and you described these charter schools. You said they, quote, should be really called corporate schools or franchise schools instead. Is this a bad thing? Are these schools somehow becoming a profit-oriented endeavor, and could that actually mean that the education would not be as effective as we'd like it to be?
Right. Well, in the nation as a whole, about 1/3 of the charter schools are operated by education management organizations. About half of them, a little bit more than half, are for-profit, and the other half are non-profit. In Michigan, however, 80% of our charter schools are operated by for-profit education management organizations, and many of them have very high fee structures, and many of them work to get the least costly to educate students. So, some of them are doing quite well in terms of profit, in part because they don't have many children that are more costly to educate, like upper secondary students with special needs, at-risk students. So So they game the system, and that's they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're entrepreneurial groups. They're going out and seeking profit. Unfortunately, we don't have the proper incentives and oversight in place to get them to go out and work on behalf of the public good. Instead, they're working on behalf of their own private good as in terms of profit and so forth.
I'm talking to Gary Miron. He's a professor at the College of Education at Western Michigan University. Gary, teachers at charter schools, do they get paid considerably less than those that are unionized and working in traditional schools?
We see that when we look and make adjustments for years of experience and qualifications, we tend to see that they're getting about a 10 to 15% lower in terms of salaries. But overall, the salaries at teachers at charter schools are lower just because the teachers tend to be a much younger teaching force. Many teachers use charter schools as a stepping stone. The attrition rate of teachers in charter schools, unfortunately, is very high. About what we have found, about 40% of first-year teachers, and overall, generally between 20 and 30% of the charter schools teachers leave annually for another school, or they leave the sector altogether.
That sounds like a very bad statistic. That certainly can't be good for kids to have almost half their teachers leaving the school.
But the way that many of these private companies have adopted and made adjustments for this high teacher attrition is that they've gone to more scripted instruction, so that the students, the instruction is very scripted, so the teachers follow the script, and then the students are less impacted by that the change of teachers.
Everything you're telling me makes it sound as though you're not a very big supporter of this plan to drastically expand charter schools in Michigan.
I'm not actually. I'm a supporter of charter schools, and I like the charter school idea, especially the idea that we had envisioned in the 90s about locally run innovative schools that would be mission-driven, highly accountable, and truly open to all students. What I would say today is, Michigan has one of the nation's largest charter school reforms already. We don't need more charter schools. What we need to do is we can create more charter schools by closing many of the bad ones, and that would release more places that could be used for new schools.
What about parental choice? Aren't parents and their children likely to have a better situation if they have options of deciding to go to a traditional school or a charter school?
Parents, when we look at surveys and polling of parents in the general public, they want choice. When we look at the consequences of choice and we weigh that into the questions, when we poll students, poll parents in the public, they tend to be less positive about it. But of course, choice is good. One of the things that we have to think about is, the way that it's structured so that school choice can work to serve the public good, and that we can have remedies to help those schools where there are higher concentrations of at-risk students. But one of the things that we see and research here in our state, as well as nationally and internationally, is that the parents that choose tend to be the more highly motivated parents, the better educated parents. Those are the ones that choose first, and in a sense, it leaves the schools that they're departing more concentrated students with poverty and less support. But as one senator told me, that that's wonderful. It's really important for parents to have that choice. And isn't it better to save those kids that can choose? And again, I said to the senator, it depends on what hat you're wearing. As a parent, that's absolutely important that you try to get out there and get the best education for your child. But then, as a policymaker or as a researcher, as my role is, we have to be looking out for the public good, which is the what's best for the whole system, not what's best for those parents that are more highly motivated. But I certainly support school choice. I've done a lot of research on it, and I know that school choice can be used for a number of things. It can be used, if it's structured well, to address issues of segregation and create voluntary integration. But unfortunately, that's not usually the case.
Just about a minute left. So what do you propose in terms of moving ahead? I mean, it looks like the plan to allow for more charter schools to expand their existence in Michigan is likely to proceed, but would you prefer that they somehow be targeted in areas then where schools are failing more than others?
My preference is that we work to close those poor performing charter schools and then create new opportunities for new schools to open in their place.
What percentage of charter schools in Michigan would you say are failing?
That are underperforming. I'd say that if we could close about 40 to 45 of the charter schools that are lowest performing, that the aggregate results for these charter schools would come up and be more similar to traditional public schools.
And will traditional public schools then be hurt ultimately by the existence of more public schools in terms of less funding and so on?
They already are hurt by them just because it's more difficult for traditional public schools to do planning, economic planning and so forth, when students are coming and going as they do from charter schools. Still, the number of charter schools in the state is, you know, we have a very, very large charter school reform already. What I would like to do is to see how we can improve it and ensure that we have better oversight mechanisms in place before we roll out and expand.
Gary Miron, a professor of professor at the College of Education at Western Michigan University. Thank you very much for joining me, Gary.
Thank you, Mike.